for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So I was visiting our friends in Odetel, Uganda last couple Sundays. A group of 12 of us went over there to represent you, and I want to tell you a few things about Uganda. It's warmer in Africa. A lot warmer. We were privileged, amongst many other awesome things, to witness the first of many to come graduations from the folks who started with us over there 8 years ago. 8 years ago, we began a partnership with this impoverished village, and we began helping these folks disciple, train, educate their youngsters. Well, these youngsters are now adults, 14 of whom are entering the workforce and enhancing the economy of the village. And maybe the best thing, and this is what I kind of swelled up with pride at you people who made this happen, is every graduate, whatever their trade was given the tools needed to carry out their trade, whether they were welders, builders, tailors, whatever. You enabled them not only to go through school and get the training they needed, you gave them the tools they needed to start their career, and you also paid 3 months' rent so that they can have a shop to do their trade to enhance the village of Odetel. I was very proud of you guys for that. Way to go. It's phenomenal. Interesting story. My son Zeke had some buddies over there. He went with us. He was one of the 12, and when he was about ready to throw his gum into the grass, right? The African saw him about ready to discard the gum, and his buddy, I don't remember who it was, who was it, Zeke?
Gabriel.
Grabbed it and put it in his mouth. We went back to the village the next day, and Gabriel had passed the gum around the village so that everybody had a chance to share. And so I want to encourage you in this holiday season to share like our African brothers and sisters over there. Anybody want this? Yeah. It's a wonderful experience, and I wish you all could experience, but you need to know that the work you have done by offering your support financially, your prayers, and by sending teams over there has radically changed lives of hundreds of people in a village, and it has changed the lives of everyone who's gone and been associated with the work. So way to go, church. Way to go. Now, to get into the teaching today, I want to tell you something, and just trust me, I mean this in the nicest possible way. You see my friendly smile? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's got his friendly smile on. Tell your neighbor he means this in the nice possible way. Nicest possible way. Here's what I want to tell you in the nicest possible way. Every single one of you is a bunch of liars. Y'all liars, every one of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a liar. Hey, is anybody here for the first time ever? Because I want you to know you're a liar too. Here's what I mean. For years, decades really, Barna and Gallup have led the world in gathering information through polls, and many bits of data over the years have been gathered from people from Barna and Gallup. However, what they've discovered recently that people actually lie to pollsters. They thought that since the people asking the questions were strangers never to be seen again, that people would be honest with them. But what they've discovered is that people, even when meeting strangers, want to present an image that's not quite the real image. And so, y'all a bunch of liars. If you're interested in such things, I read a book this summer called Everybody Lies. And it deals with this stuff. But in the book, it says that there's one place where we actually can discover what people are actually thinking. And that is by tracking what people search by way of Google in the privacy and the anonymity of their own homes. In fact, did you know Google does this? Google tracks what everybody searches in the privacy of their own home. And so we can get by this weird phenomenon where we like to lie to pollsters and see what the actual truth is, what people are really about, by simply tracking Google data. Google tells us that at this time of year, and they tell us because they've tracked such things over the last 10 years, that there's one Google search that spikes astronomically this time of year and then disappears for most of the year after Christmas. Google will tell us that most Americans have an interest in the things. Anybody know what I'm going to say? in the things of God this time of year in greater levels than any other time of year. And they know that because there's one word that is searched in astronomical numbers this time of year, not other time of years. More people search for the word church via Google in these weeks than at any other time in the year. There's something about this time of year which turns people's hearts and minds to the things of God. Not sure what it is, but it's a common thing that Google has told us about, and I'm here to tell you it's not really a recent thing either. In fact, we have evidence of a 2,000-year-old Google search where some people began searching in their search box to understand more of the things of God. And we have their story revealed to us in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the region of Judea, during the time that King Herod was king, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. The magi. It's the first Google search where humans were looking for the things of God and wondering where they could go to have an encounter with this thing called God. And we see it in one verse, chapter 2, verse 1, with these magi. What do we know about these magi? You know what we don't know? This might come as a shock, so go ahead and gasp. We don't know if there's three of them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say there were three wise men. How many of you in your home, on your mantle, or somewhere on a desk have a nativity scene with three wise men bringing their gifts? How many? You're living a lie. We've established this already. We do know that they brought three gifts, and therefore many folks have, you know, deduced, probably incorrectly, that there were only three of them. We don't know how many there were. What do we know about them? Most likely we know that they were from Persia. And they were philosophers and priests whose lives were given to study the things of the mind, to discover, you know, how do people think, to discover how the universe works. We know that they were Persian priests and philosophers. We know, because they were Persian priests and philosophers, they weren't within the realm of Judaism. God revealed himself to the Jews. This Yahweh was the God of the Jews. And yet here we have a story of this first Google search of these people outside of the Jewish tradition learning about God in their Google search, which tells us this, that God's truth cannot be confined by religious systems. There is no religious system that can package God and say, we got it all, we know it all, God only can be discovered through us. We see through these wise men that God's truth transcends religious systems. In fact, we see what the Bible says all throughout, that the heavens and the earth declare the glory of the Lord. We know from another verse that these men saw his star when it rose. We see the truths of what the Apostle Paul would write later in the book of Romans, that since the beginning of time, since creation, God's invisible qualities have been seen in his handiwork, his power and his divine nature. And in these guys who were pagan, they weren't Jewish folks, they saw something remarkable. And they were drawn to search out via first century Google this Jesus. Now, they didn't get everything right. Well, you know, let me just say this about them. Many folks come to church this time of year. Google tells us that more people search for church. Thus, this is the highest attended season of church throughout. Many folks, I think, who go to church this time of year, maybe you, are just like these folks. You see, in modern church vernacular, in modern church language, we would call these magi the unchurched, the out of church, people who didn't grow up in church. And I'm thinking there are people checking out church this season, and I want to tell you, you're just like these wise people known as the Magi from Persia. So they were wise. They found truth outside of Judaism, but they didn't get it all right. And I want you to look at something here, because the thing that they got wrong reveals something about God that might make you say Merry Christmas. I read the verse to you. Do you remember where Jesus was born? Anybody? Say it like you mean it. Yeah. And yet, where did these guys go? Anybody remember? Jerusalem. Say it like you mean it. Jerusalem is literally the city of kings. King Herod resided in Jerusalem because that's where kings resided. King Herod was a Jewish king put in place by the Roman government to kind of rule over the Jewish region of Judea. And so these people who heard of this king by the stars in the sky, they went to the place where, of course, kings would be, Jerusalem. But they didn't find him there. They found him in this backwater town, this podunk hillbilly place. Reminds me of some of the places my relatives lived down in rural Indiana. This little town known as Bethlehem. And in making the mistake, they learned something about God. See, if the Father sent the Son, and if he was born in Jerusalem, he just would have been amongst the list of many kings who just were aloof and distant. Because kings are aloof and distant. They live in the city of kings, and commoners like us, we couldn't approach them. But somebody say, but. But God, the Father, didn't send God the Son to be born in the city of kings. He sent the Son to be born in a backwater country because God cares about the common person. God came not to be distant and separated, but to be with. Somebody say, with. And in being born in Bethlehem, we learned what these magi learned so long ago, that there's something different about the thinkings of this God. That he genuinely cares for the underdog. He's got a soft spot in his heart for the marginalized. Or, as we say here, he's about the lost, the least, and the lonely. They went to the city of kings looking for the King of Kings, and they only found the King of Kings amongst the riffraff and the rabble. I'm wondering if anybody in this room has ever felt like the riffraff or the rabble. Or I'm wondering if anybody in this room knows somebody who has felt like the riffraff and the rabble. You see, the reason we can say Merry Christmas is because we don't serve a God who separated from the underdogs, the losers. We serve a God who came to live amongst them and to set them free. So turn to your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. Turn to the neighbor and say, I'm sorry, I called you a liar. So these magi, they got it wrong. They were right in looking for this Jesus, but they looked in the wrong place. Because he didn't come to be a prince, he came to be a pauper. He didn't come for position, he came for people. Turn to your neighbor with your happiest face and say, Merry Christmas. So they were in the presence of the king and King Herod. And they asked King Herod, hey, where's the other king that the stars have talked about? And that didn't go well with Herod. Here's the deal. These guys, these magi from Persia, they encountered a ruler of a nation who was less than respectful and often hated. Sound familiar for anybody in the room? You know what they didn't do? They didn't leave and start slamming that king. They didn't leave and gather their like-minded people and talk about how evil that king was. These wise men, these magi, they actually taught maybe some Americans who disagree with what's going on in the White House. This has nothing to do with Christmas, but it's a lesson from these people. They were respectful. And they were polite. Even though they disagreed. Elbow your neighbor and say, do you get what he's saying? Elbow your neighbor and say, that has nothing to do with Christmas, but it's a good point. So they saw this king, the man of position, and they realized this wasn't the one that was going to change the world. They realized that government really isn't going to change the world. They realized that positions of authority and power ain't the place to look for salvation. They realized that only in a manger would you find the King of Kings. And there's something about this Jesus that drew them from from miles and miles and days and days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks away, they sought with all they had because there was something about Jesus that drew them. I wonder if there's anything about Jesus that has drawn you here today. Maybe it's just the nostalgia of church around Christmas time. I mean, you kind of got to go to church, right? Maybe it's family. Do this very subtly so that the family who brought you can't see. How many of you are here only because a family member brought you? Yeah, it happens. It happens. I understand. There's something about Christmas where we just gather folks in and we want them to be here. So maybe you're just here because of the nostalgic value of it or because a family member around Christmas and you finally acquiesce and say, oh, it's Christmas, I'll go. But maybe you're here because like these first Google searchers, there's something about this Jesus that has drawn you. Maybe you're here because this Jesus speaks to something deep within. The year was 1670. Anybody around back then? And Blaise Pascal put these words on paper. He said, each man, and I'll add, and woman, each man has an emptiness inside that he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things fulfillments that are not there. There's an infinite abyss within, he says, that can be filled only with an infinite, unchangeable God. God. People have taken those big words and put it in this phrase, everybody's got a God-shaped hole within, and I'm wondering if you're here because you have a God-shaped hole within that's longing to be filled with something greater than the things you've tried to fill it with. Maybe you're seeking contentment, peace and joy and purpose. If that's you, you're in the right place. So on coming to the house, now we're in verse 11, these wise dudes, there's three of them. On coming to the house, they saw the child, Jesus, with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Then, after they had bowed down and worshiped, they opened their treasures. And they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three actions is what they did. They bowed, they worshiped, then they presented. And there's a lesson from these pagan Persian priests that all of us can learn from. They didn't do anything for Jesus. They didn't give anything to Jesus. They didn't render any service to Jesus until after they submitted themselves, they bowed before him and worshiped him. And I think there's a powerful lesson for those of us who spend our Sundays in church, because if we just try to do things for God without first surrendering and worshiping him, our religion becomes just that, religion. And the gifts that we give to God, the service we render to God, if we put it before we bow, before we surrender, and before we worship, those gifts, those acts of service, they become ensnaring. And they become things that shackle us. And religion becomes a to-do list, a checklist, a things that you have to do instead of walking in surrender and freedom of worshiping the one who's worthy of worship. Religion becomes something you ought to do and you should do. Now, I know there's people in this room, myself included, whose faith has been marked with doing things because you ought to do them. But if you're doing things for God, if you're giving him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, before you've surrendered to him, before you've worshiped him, I'm telling you, your faith is going to shrivel and die, and you're going to end up blah. Because that type of religion doesn't last. Only religion that begins with the surrender and worship, and out of surrender and worship, offering of gifts, that's the religion that changes your heart and the face of planet Earth. So maybe there's an invitation here for us to follow these pagan Persian priests to get our own religion in order. Stop doing things for God before you've surrendered to God. Elbow your neighbor and say, are you listening? Surrender to him, bow down to him, and worship him, and then offer for him. And that's the religion that brings peace and purpose and fulfillment. Now, y'all staring at me a little bit. I got to check. Give me a head nod if you're tracking. Okay. Give me a head nod if you're sound asleep. Okay, a couple of you. You see, when you encounter Jesus, like these guys, they saw the child with his mama Mary. They didn't say to themselves, what must we do for him? Their first response was to go down on a knee, because when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus, the first response is to bow. And so my prayer for everybody today is that you have an encounter this Christmas season with the most Google searched thing in America, and that is church, that is the things of God. Encounter Jesus. Let me just give you a little tip. Don't settle for church involvement. Don't settle for church involvement. Rather, seek an encounter with the baby whose birthday we celebrate. That was verse 11. Let's go back to verse 4. We can learn something in their story. So Herod wasn't happy. Here he is being all king and stuff, and somebody comes and said, hey, there's a king that was born in your region. And he's like, huh, that's news to me. I don't like it. And so you know the story maybe. This is what the Bible says. He called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. These are the ones who were within the Jewish system, the religious system within which God revealed himself as Yahweh. These are the ones whose life was given to look for the Messiah, and they were a mere 5 miles away from where Jesus was born. And yet these pagan, unbelieving dudes who lived hundreds of miles away saw Jesus when those who had Jesus right under their nose totally missed him. You see, we learn again, and this is key for us to make sure we're clear, as we maybe have greater attendance on a Christmas season, that sometimes religious involvement blinds us from the move of God. Now, y'all just staring at me, and I'm wondering what you're thinking. This isn't an indictment upon you. It's a warning for all of us. But the ones that Herod called were the ones who should have been the first in line to bow and worship to Jesus. And yet in their religious diligence, they missed the greatest work the Lord had ever done. Repeat after me. May it not be so with me. Repeat after me. May it not be so with my church. Repeat after me. May it not be so with my family. May it never be so, friends, that our religious involvement keeps us from seeing the work of the Lord. They missed it. So Herod called him and said, hey, where's the Messiah to be born? And then they searched the scriptures and they said, oh, maybe in Bethlehem. So they had the information that they needed. They dismissed it. But these pagan Persian priests were the people who found the pauper king. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about Persia. To the Jewish person, and the people Jesus revealed scriptures to initially were Jewish folks, Persia was one of the most hated places in the world. So in the rankings of the worst seasons of Jewish history, probably the worst was the 400-year captivity to the Egyptians. Soon after that was the 70-year captivity to the Babylonians and the Persians. You can read about this part in like the book of Daniel. An evil king, the king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, just decimated all all of Israel. Well, he in turn and his descendants were decimated by the Persian kings, and the Persian kings took the oppression that the Babylons were rendering unto the Israelites and made it 10 times worse. Jews did not like Persians. Now, if you didn't know that, you might miss something pretty cool. If you didn't know that, you might miss something for those of you who feel like you're just too stupid and far gone for God to love. And if you didn't know that, you would miss some good news for your friend who feels like they've done so much bad stuff that God could never love them. But because you now know that Jews hated Persians because they oppressed them horrifically, we learn, we read this actually in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 21 in Matthew. The Bible says, Jesus the Messiah will save, here it is, his people. His people will be saved. The Jews would read that and say, that's us. Yeah, long live Judaism. Woo! But a few short verses later, we see these pagan Persian kings coming to Jesus, bowing to him, worshiping him, and rendering gifts unto him. We see the salvation of these pagan Persian kings, and we can connect back to chapter 1 that his people are pagan Persian kings. People who the world would think were too far for God to love them are the ones that God came to love. You see, the Jews saw the Persians and knew that God wanted to free them from their oppressors. But in the story of these pagan Persian priests, we see that God not only wants to free us from oppressors, he wants freedom for the oppressors. That's worth clapping, maybe, huh? Now, maybe you don't understand why we're clapping. It's not that God just wants freedom from oppression. He wants freedom for oppressors. And some of you can clap because you've been oppressed and you can see that God loves those who've oppressed you. But here's the bad news. All of us in our own way from time to time are oppressing others. How many of you have ever talked about that guy at work to this coworker? You know, the one who annoys you? Mm-hmm. Oppression. How many of you students have been at lunch and seen that guy over there by himself and said, you know what, somebody ought to do something about that, but I'm not good because that person's weird, and you just walk away? Oppression. How many of you have seen somebody in need maybe outside in the cold weather and you just have driven by without a thought? Oppression. You see, the news is good for all who are obvious oppressors that Jesus came even for you. But the news is sobering for all of us when we realize that all of us have a bit of the Persian within. And Jesus came to save his people, which is you. And those who don't yet know Jesus. And those who've been very rude to people. To that person that you find the hardest to be around, that's the one Jesus came for. That's why we have Christmas. Because Jesus came to save his people. Lessons from the Magi. And you know what I say to myself when I look at all of these lessons from these pagan Persian priests and the lessons I learn about God, I can say to myself, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, the birth of the baby is worthy of me saying, Merry Christmas. That's a good thing. So Merry Christmas. Now here's the deal. We got a little switch up for us after here as we're done. You will note out in the lobby that there's some things going on. Y'all are invited. We are having a fundraiser for our youth group. So every Sunday after church, there's a lunch for many of you. If you are a regular, pay attention, if you're a regular to that lunch, here's how much we're asking you to contribute financially to the youth group fundraiser. Are you ready? Go ahead and say that. Nothing. So if you're a usual lunch attender for our after church lunch for some of our homeless folks or folks who, you know, find it hard to find a Sunday lunch, you don't have to pay anything to the fundraiser. However, you need to help clean up. All right. If you're not a regular at our after service lunch, at this pancake breakfast where they will be serving pancakes, it's $3 per person. All the money simply goes to help fund our youth ministry. If, like me, you have 5 children and 1 wife for a total of 7, and you're thinking, man, I could go to Little Caesars and get cheaper and more food, $10 per family max. Make sense? It's a great opportunity to hang out, to get to know some of your church family members. For $3, you can eat some pancakes. For $10, you can feed your family. Or if you're a part of our regular after church service, don't worry about that. Just help us clean up. Make sense? Merry Christmas. If you're a follower of Christ and this is your church home, don't forget your joy boxes. Prayer. It works. We got some buckets over on the table. We'd love for you to write out your prayer requests. We'll pray for you. Our prayer team will be right here. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.